listening to The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. It'll come as no surprise to most of our listeners when I say it has been a wet and rainy spring here in Illinois. After heavy thunderstorms last month resulted in swollen rivers, flooded basements, and fields underwater, Governor Pritzker declared a state of emergency for four counties. One thing is relatively clear. More rain seems to be becoming our new spring reality. For the past 3 years, the month of May has set precipitation records in northern Illinois. That's according to the National Weather Service. In just a few minutes, I'll speak with the Illinois State Climatologist, Trent Ford, about what we've been seeing. But first, I'm joined on the line now by Brian Sartorius. He's president of the Menard County Farm Bureau. It's a little ways north of Springfield. Brian, welcome to the 21st.
Hey, thanks a lot. Thanks for having me this afternoon.
So, Brian, you farm corn, soy, and wheat. Have you experienced flooding this year?
Yes, not as extreme as what our neighbors have to the west, but it has impacted my operation for sure here in 2020.
I mean, say the west, I was just checking the National Weather Service page the other day. It looked like the Illinois River was still pretty high up in a lot of places in central Illinois. You know, I wonder, is that sort of flooding normal for you? What have you been dealing with in the past few years?
Well, that's a really good question. This year feels a little bit different for us. 2019 was a real bear. We are impacted, I guess, by all tributaries, but most primary would be the Sangamon River, which of course would dump into the Illinois. Mm-hmm. We have 200 acres that we're still looking to get soybeans into the ground, hopefully later on this week. The river's recessed. It's recessed about 7 feet recently in the last 10 days. So everything like that helps.
What have you been hearing from other farmers in Menard County and really statewide about what they've been dealing with this year?
Well, I think as a whole, there are pockets of good everywhere. There are pockets that have been challenging. So in our area, we're seeing replanting this week, a lot of replanting. So that's time consuming to scout your field and go out and make the decision on where to put additional seed. I have colleagues in southern Illinois that have hundreds, if not thousands, of acres left to plant. And it's not been as a devastating flood, but just continual rain at the wrong time. Things are about ready to work, and more rain comes.
Yeah, and there's this trickle down. Can you remind us? I know this was a big issue last year, but what is kind of the deadline for wanting to get something like corn or soy, which are obviously our huge crops here in Illinois? What would be the cutoff for getting that in the ground?
Well, it's really a preference thing, but if you want to look at some data, crop insurance has a kind of a hard line of June 5th. After June 5th, then the percentage of your crop insurance drops down. And then we move into soybeans, and that has a later date of June 20th. So, optimally, we would like to have, corn started to be planting in April and continue through April, have a little pause, and maybe plant soybeans. But some of that's being reversed. We've got technology now that is allowing us to plant soybeans perhaps ahead of corn, and results are positive with changing up that pattern to some extent. But again, it comes back to the preference.
And what kind of effect does it have on crops when you get this much rain? I mean, do they rot? Do they wash away? Do you have to replant? What happens?
Yeah, that's a good question. So what if we just take corn, for example? It's a seed, so of course it's kind of like us. It likes oxygen. So it gets that from soil, and it wants adequate moisture, not excessive moisture. So what happens to the seedling is it sits in the ground. If it doesn't start to physiologically start moving in its process, then the seed that has treatment, and treatment are really kind of like an antibiotic that helps the plant while it's in the soil, actually kind of get going and be protected as it emerges out. So what happens as the seed sits in the soil, it can really start to decay like you would see leaves in your yard. So when that decay happens, obviously the seedling's dead. But the other thing that happens is the seedling can use so much of its energy just to get out of the soil. And when that happens, it could really be stunted for the rest of its life.
So is that an expensive proposition? You don't have to get in numbers or anything, but I mean, when you have to go and replant or delay things like that, or does insurance usually cover that to some extent?
To some extent, there's insurance help if you have that option in your operation, but you have labor to go out and actually do the work. But at the end, the yield could be reduced, and that's what we're all trying to do is increase our yield, shrink our margin, and our yield can be affected by how that crop comes out of the ground.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We've been talking about spring flooding with Brian Satorius. He's president of the Menard County Farm Bureau. That's just north of Springfield. Always good to talk to a fellow Brian. Brian, thank you for taking the time to speak with us.
Well, thank you for having us. To your listeners, come and enjoy Menard County and thank agriculture. Thank you.
All right. Hope you dry out soon. I'd like to welcome another voice into the conversation now. Trent Ford is the Illinois State Climatologist. He joins us now via Zoom from Champaign, Urbana. Trent, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks, Brian. Good to be here.
So we've been hearing anecdotally from another Brian about some of what he's been dealing with, but are you, you know, what's the data say? Are we seeing more precipitation this year than in past years?
Yeah, absolutely. So the climatological spring that just ended, which will be March through May, the official numbers haven't been released yet, but it's likely going to be wetter than normal, given that each of those 3 months were wetter than the 30-year normal as well as the longer-term average. And when we look at longer trends over the last 100 to 150 years, we do see significant increases in total seasonal precipitation in spring, as well as total annual precipitation all across the state. So northern, southern, eastern, western Illinois, it's been really the most noticeable change in climate over the last 100 years has been that increase in precipitation.
Andrew, I want to sort of drive in on that point. The most noticeable change in climate has been the increase in precipitation, not necessarily that the winters are colder or that it's hotter than it used to be, but it's more rain. Is that what you're saying?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. And as far as temperature change is concerned, we have seen, temperature increases in the wintertime and the springtime, minimum temperature increases in the summertime that have been pretty consistent over the last 100 years or so. But definitely as far as a total magnitude, as we think of a percent of change from where it was just 100 years ago, the total annual precipitation has changed as a large function of the normal.
How much are we talking about? Like, I mean, is it doubling or half more? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, statewide between 1895 and 2019, the total annual precipitation in Illinois has increased by about half an inch per decade. And so if you think about the average annual total precipitation across the state of Illinois is somewhere between 35 and 42 inches. And if we think about over the last 100 years or so, we've increased that by about 5 inches. So it's a pretty significant percent of our total annual precipitation that we've seen that increase. If we break that increase down over the seasons, spring precipitation has increased to a larger extent than the other seasons. And so what Brian talked about earlier with the seemingly increased frequency of spring, increased spring precipitation and the impacts to agriculture, that's something that the data does support.
That's fascinating. And anecdotally, if you asked me off the top of my head, I would say, well, we're seeing less snow in winter and more rain in the spring. And does the data bear up, what I've sort of perceived? Or
definitely for the spring, the increased rainfall in the spring is definitely something that we're seeing. And again, it pretty much everywhere in the state, no matter what station you pull. The snowfall in winter is a little bit more difficult. There's lots of reasons for that. Snowfall records don't go quite go back as far, as well as snowfall being pretty highly variable. And so it depends on where you are in the state and over what time period you're looking to see about snowfall trends. But definitely for precipitation, we've seen those increased precipitation again in every season, but spring sticks out as being the highest change.
If you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Illinois State climatologist Trent Ford about the increasing rains we've been seeing in Illinois every spring. So what environmental factors cause this increase in precipitation?
Sure. So, precipitation as it falls is driven by the atmospheric condition in which it falls. However, when we look over a climatological period, that sort of long-term change that I talked about is driven by longer-term changes in atmospheric characteristics. So, the long.
Yeah, what does that mean for those of us who are not meteorologists?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. So when we think about what drives precipitation, it's what we can consider the thermodynamic driver, which is the temperature in the air and the water vapor holding capacity of the air, if you will. So warmer air can, quote unquote, hold more water vapor. And therefore, with increased temperature, we have more water vapor in the air. That's kind of the thermodynamic driver, if you will. The other part of the dynamic driver is atmospheric circulation. So changes in atmospheric circulation can make it more or less likely to get the types of systems, the low pressure systems, the mid-latitude cyclones, the kind of small scale convective storms that we saw over the last couple of weeks, more frequently passing through the state. So those two things together combine to make, along with long-term variability driven by things like Pacific and Atlantic sea surface temperature variability, combine to make that sort of long-term trend that we've observed across the state.
Could this mean more severe weather too, like thunderstorms and tornadoes?
You know, it, similar to the snowfall and the snowstorm issue, you know, we can track the frequency of tornadoes and severe thunderstorms. However, because those are more extreme events, the records don't go back as far, as well as it's more difficult to fingerprint or attribute climate change to any sort of variability or long-term change in something like tornadoes than it is in something like annual or spring total precipitation.
Yeah. So, I mean, both on the micro sense, are we going to see more rain into the summer this year to the extent you can forecast that? And then is this our new normal for, are we just going to be a wetter state than we've been in the past?
Well, you know, we do actually get our quote unquote new normals at the end of this year. NOAA will recalculate our 30-year normals to go from the 1991 to 2020 period. And it's likely that the total spring precipitation over that 30-year period is going to be much higher than it was over our previous normal, which was 1981 to 2010. So in that case, yes, we will see a new normal for the state, meaning that everything that we see from now to the end of 2030 will be compared to that average. And as far as the summertime is concerned, the outlooks were just released from the Climate Prediction Center for June, showing actually slightly elevated chances of below normal precipitation. So hopefully folks throughout the state can get a little bit of a reprieve from those wet conditions. However, driven mostly by long-term trends, the summer outlooks for June through August are still showing elevated outlooks of elevated chances of above normal precipitation. So hopefully if we get a relatively warm, somewhat dry month in June, that can help agriculture along.
So this is kind of a big question, and I'm sorry, I'm going to ask it with only about 30 seconds left here, but what should we be doing to adapt to this new reality?
You know, reducing vulnerability, and so whatever that means for folks who are being impacted by this, if that means better drainage systems for urban areas so we get less flash flooding, especially in vulnerable communities, if that means soil and water management or conservation strategies for agriculture, really the adaptation and then the mitigation of climate change and its impacts are really up to the folks who are being impacted by that and the choices they need to make to improve their livelihoods. But certainly, you know, adaptation strategies can help reduce overall vulnerability or increase resilience to the extreme precipitation and the flooding that we've been talking about.
Trent Ford is the Illinois State climatologist. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us.
Hey, thanks, Brian. Always good to be on.
That is all the time we have for today. You can always stay up to date with us on Twitter at 21STShow. You should also subscribe to our podcast. We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, NPR One, anywhere you want to find us. Just search for The 21st. Our program is produced by Libby Foster and Anna Casey. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. Special thank you to the band Public Access for our theme music. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening.